Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to our virtual living room, where we discuss today's issues and how those issues relate to the Holy Scriptures. So sit back, relax, and engage in conversation with us.
Good afternoon, and the Most High in the name of Christ bless you. I am Josiah, and welcome to our virtual living room where we examine recent events and other topics as they pertain to the Holy Scriptures. We give all praises to the Most High in Christ, and we give thanks for God's generous mercy, grace, and forgiveness. I'd like to remind everyone listening in that our chat room is open and available for your comments or questions. This week's topic is Justin Bieber. Is his career in jeopardy? And recently, over maybe the last several months, there's been a number of instances where Justin Bieber has been in the news, not for better, but for worse. Incidents from speeding to spitting. And that's going to be the topic of our conversation today. We want to kind of explore what direction is this headed in? You know, what's the actual cause of this misbehavior? And joining me here in the virtual living room to discuss this topic, we have first off our brother Kazakia.
Hey, shalom to the brothers on the panel. Shalom to our listeners. Giving all praises to the Heavenly Father in Christ. Definitely good to be back to explore another topic and looking forward to delving into scriptures and seeing what the edification is concerning what we're talking about today.
All right. We also have joining us our brother Abaja.
Hey, I want to say shalom and all praise and thanks to the Heavenly Father in Christ for the ability to be on another episode. And, you know, once again, we seek to get the edification of the scriptures.
Well, brothers, old saying from, I think the first time I heard it was back in the 70s. It says, you can't know where you're going to unless you know where you're coming from. So I guess the place to start here is to start with where Justin Bieber is from. This is from Wikipedia. It says, Justin Drew Bieber was born on March 1st, 1994, in London, Ontario, at St. Joseph's Hospital, and was raised in Stratford, Ontario. He is the son of Jeremy Jack Bieber and Patricia Patty Millette. Bieber's mother was 17 years old when she became pregnant. His parents were never married, but maintained a close friendship and common goals regarding their son's personal and professional life. Millette raised her son with the help of her mother Diane and stepfather Bruce. In September 2012, Millette's memoirs titled Nowhere But Up were published. The book tells of her early life and her work with her son to pursue a career in the music industry. In her book, as well as in an interview with the Today Show, Millette talked about how everyone around her tried to push her toward abortion and how she refused to abort her baby. Millette worked a series of low-paying office jobs, raising Bieber as a single mother in low-income housing. Bieber has maintained contact with his father, who married another woman and had two children. Interested in hockey, soccer, and chess, he kept his musical aspirations to himself. As he grew up, Bieber taught himself to play the piano, drums, guitar, and trumpet. In early 2007, age 12, Bieber sang Ne-Yo's So Sick for a local singing competition in Stratford and was placed second. Millette posted a video of the performance on YouTube for their family and friends to see. She continued to upload videos of Bieber singing covers of various R&B songs, and Bieber's popularity grew on the site. And after that, there was one of Usher's partners saw one of Justin's videos on YouTube and contacted Justin and arranged for him to meet with Usher, and shortly afterwards he signed some agreements with him, and I mean, from that point, he became a star. So that's kind of where, in a nutshell, where Justin Bieber is coming from. Now, let's talk about some of the things that happened here in the recent past. The first one happened, first thing I wanted to go through here is something that happened when he visited the Anne Frank Museum.
Justin Bieber was in Amsterdam recently visiting Anne Frank House, and he decided to enter something into the guest book, but what he entered is getting a lot of attention. Here's what he wrote, and I quote, "Truly inspiring to be able to come here. Anne was a great girl. Hopefully, she would have been a believer." Now, a lot of people are criticizing it, saying that was so self-centered of him to just think of him himself. On Twitter, there are posts mocking him, imagining that he had visited the museum and walked away thinking only of himself. A Facebook response insulting Bieber received more than 1,000 likes, which is slightly more than the museum's original post about the incident.
It's just not the most sensitive thing when you're in a museum about something so sort of solemn and sacred as Anne Frank.
And no,
talking about Bieber.
I don't think
Bieber,
she would have been a believer.
Man. Give me a break.
Now, brothers, I have some other clips to play of incidents of, you know, where Bieber has been caught misbehaving. All right. But in this one incident, is this maybe being just a little bit overly sensitive about something that's very simple? I mean, he is still a teenager. You know, I think he's like 19 years old. He was born in 1994. So, you know, as a teenager, you know, if anybody were to think back to most anybody, because some people are exceptionally mature at 19, but most people at 19, you know, you still, you have a man's body or a woman's body, but you're still somewhat of a child. And considering that, Abadja, don't you think this is probably just a bit sensitive, overly sensitive when it comes to the things that he wrote in this book?
Well, yes, we have to understand, even as people that profess to believe in Jesus Christ and follow the Bible. I'm going to start out in the book of St. John, chapter 15 and verse 19. It says, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you." And the reason why I read that scripture is because the world has its own set of rules that they go by, and they own their own set of protocol and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And the Lord gave us the protocol that we're supposed to follow that the world hates. Now, having said that, when you look at, you know, just the uproar and everything that they're dealing with, there are certain protocols that you follow in the world as far as showing respect, you know, showing discretion and just learning how to deal in certain situations. And given the fact that, you know, this was such a, I guess, more of a sacred, you know, type of thing, you know, mm-hmm. if I, correct me if I'm wrong, Anne Frank was, she died in a concentration camp of like some type of infectious, not that infectious disease, but something like, I forgot what it was, but something like a plague or something like that. I'm chopping it up and I'm wrong, but as far as the exact cause of death, but I knew it was some type of, you know, almost like a, not the flu or something, but anyway. But basically, you have a person, you know, in the world that basically suffered, you know, a horrible thing, and mm-hmm. is held in high regard. So mm-hmm. common sense would tell you, listen, you know, you have to respect that, in a sense. Not for the sake of, oh, well, this is the Lord, and this, that, and the other, but it basically just goes into conduct. And just basically making sure that you're blameless, you know, in a sense.
Right.
As far as it relates to us, or those that profess Christ, you know, we have to make sure that our conduct is blameless when it comes to things that are dealt with in this world, things that are held, you know, held in regard, as long as it doesn't contradict the scriptures.
Okay. So this is a situation where blame could be laid to him. Let's take a look at another situation where people are laying blame to him. And here again, this just seems to be like, you know, teenage stuff.
That's a hay for you, man. Quick little piss break, you know, quick restroom we can get to.
Okay, I'm going to stop that right there. So now what you heard is Justin Bieber, and you really kind of need to see the video on this, but I'll explain what's going on. Justin Bieber and some of his friends are in the back part of a restaurant, and there's a mop bucket there in the vicinity, and Justin is actually urinating into the mop bucket. Here it is again in its entirety.
That's a hay for you, man. Quick little piss break, you know, quick restroom we can get to. We swagger, man. You know, this is just the best spot to piss.
Bro. We the wild kids.
That's the coolest spot to piss. You know, you'll forever remember that.
We the what?
You're not gonna remember him pissing in the restroom. Like, everybody does that.
Hey, yeah. What are we though, bro? What are we?
We the
wild kids, y'all!
Wild kids!
Wild kids in this.
Now, Kazaki, some people are kind of up in arms about this, you know, and they talking about how, you know, he's not thinking about the person that has to come behind him and clean up the mop bucket, because obviously you can't use that bucket filled with urine to mop the floor and all. So someone has to clean it up. But, you know, isn't this just, you know, characteristic of probably every teenager to have some moments of just serious indiscretion? And, you know, where it shows that they still need parenting. You know, is this something that is like a really dreadful thing? Because obviously, you know, nobody's life or limb is threatened in this situation.
Right. I took a look at the video, and in response to your question, yeah, I would have to say that there is still some parenting that needs to be done, or that should have been done, due to the mm-hmm. fact that this young man, I believe, 19 years old. Isn't he 19?
Yes, he's 19.
He's 19, so it's safe to say that there is some parenting that should have been done, at least prior to this, so that he would know how to conduct himself. And being that, you know, this is Justin Bieber, he's pretty much a world known face, a world known figure. He can't go anywhere without someone at least recognizing him. Excuse me. Then mm-hmm. there's even by society standards, as Abaja was illustrating, there is a certain standard, even by society's standards, that he is being held to, whether he chooses to acknowledge that or not. He's being held to some degree of standard. He's being held to some degree, a higher degree of conduct, as this is how you're supposed to be, this is how you're supposed to act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once upon a time, from probably my generation backward, it would have been labeled home training. In other words, when you go out in public, this is how you're supposed to be. When you're out in public, this is how you're supposed to act. Or when you're out in public, this is how you're supposed to conduct yourself. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. So now let's go into the scriptures right quick. First and foremost, Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. Of course, at 19 years old, that's not much rod of correction that could be administered. Nonetheless, let's look at the first part where it says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So this video, at least the sound clip that you played from the video, mm-hmm. that's an example of foolishness. At 19 years of age, foolishness that should have been corrected or addressed years before, so that you don't find yourself in a situation like this, especially Justin Bieber, in the which every move that he makes, everywhere that he goes, it's going to be scrutinized by the public. Also, I have to read Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 1, but the key is in verse 4. And it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Verse 4, listen carefully. neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So now verse 4 is an example. So as followers of the Heavenly Father, these are the type of things that should not be traced back to us. Fornication, uncleanness, mm-hmm. covetousness. Verse 4, filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Those things in relation to the video or the soundbite of the video that uh-huh. you just played is an example of the things that shouldn't be applied to followers of the Heavenly Father in Christ. Now,
right, but,
as
see,
far as,
but see, not everybody, because not everybody is aspiring to become a saint or to be a follower of the Heavenly Father in Christ. They just want to be an average person, you know. So what do you say to people that, you know, I mean, they're not trying to, they don't have those aspirations?
Okay, as far as those people who don't have those type of quote-unquote aspirations are concerned, we still have to look at the example of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to relay these scriptures back to him in particular due to the fact that he claims or he professes himself to be a Christian. When you look at the Wikipedia profile and you scroll mm-hmm. down under the tab, he claims that he is a Christian. So as a Christian, as he claims to be,
uh-huh.
as he claims to be now, okay,
uh-huh.
these are the type of things that shouldn't be attributed to him. But if you try not to go that far or that deep, let's just look at Matthew. Look at the book of Matthew just right quick, please. Matthew, the fifth chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So the light that Christ is referring to is, of course,
mm-hmm.
our example of Jesus Christ. So what Christ is telling mm-hmm. us is, let your example, your good example of me, my teachings, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Heavenly Father. So now, where in the scriptures do you read about Christ urinating in a bucket or Christ and his behavior potentially jeopardizing others? You don't read about that.
Excellent.
So that's
points,
the reason
brother.
Why those scriptures come to mind.
Excellent points. Well, I have another clip here I'd like to play. You know, something else that may hint to many people to be a bit more serious.
In trouble for superstar Justin Bieber. Former NFL star Keyshawn Johnson reportedly confronting Bieber for driving recklessly at top speeds through their neighborhood. ABC's Cecilia Vega has the story.
It might seem like an unfair match, the whopping wide receiver versus the pint-sized pop star, but that's exactly what happened behind the gates of this exclusive Southern California compound when all 6'4" of former NFL player Keyshawn Johnson confronted the 5'7" Biebs for allegedly turning their wide, winding, mansion-lined streets into a racetrack.
If I was your boyfriend.
It's not too far off from the racing in Justin Bieber's boyfriend video. Johnson's reps say on Monday the singer hit speeds of nearly 100 miles per hour, racing his white Ferrari near a family-friendly Memorial Day barbecue. That's when the retired football star turned ESPN broadcaster jumped in his car, reportedly a Prius, and trailed behind Bieber's Ferrari. Johnson blocked his neighbor's driveway and busted his way through security to tell the 19-year-old to slow down. Now, police call Bieber a reckless driving suspect.
That we take this very seriously, and this is the kind of behavior that is unacceptable to be done by anybody, anywhere.
The Biebs reps say it wasn't Justin behind the wheel, but several witnesses don't believe it. They say Bieber was driving. Does the Biebs have a need for speed? Earlier this month, police in Dubai slapped a Lamborghini driving Bieber with several tickets.
He's going to get arrested. Oh, okay, sorry about that.
And last summer in California, another ticket. This one for driving more than 100 miles per hour. It appears this pop star with a golden voice also has a lead foot. For Good Morning America, Cecilia Vega, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Okay, brothers, how many young people are, you know, 19 years old, 18 years old, is going to have a sports car and not try to find out what it's going to do? I mean, you're going to drive fast in it. I mean, that's what it's built for. It's built to drive fast. It's not built to drive the speed limit. So what you do is you get your radar detectors and so on and so forth, and then you try to find the moment where you can do it. And sometimes you get called and you get a speeding ticket. You know, that seems to be somewhat of a rite of passage, right, Abadja?
Again, in this world, that is normally a rite of passage. You know, because even when I got my first car as a teenager, I understood later why my father got me basically what they would call an old beater. You know, if something is not extravagant, you know, it's not the latest and the greatest, and more importantly, it's not very powerful. You know, as far as the engine is concerned, it's not going to go so fast. It'll get you back and forth safely, and it'll do the job. Because, you know, the scriptures say in Proverbs that Doc had read it earlier, that foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, of a child, which means that as a child, you have really no, you don't have an understanding. It's hard for you to grasp the reality of certain decisions and how that affects other people around you. You know, which is why, you know, the scriptures come back and say this in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 6. It says, young men, because that's the stage where he's at right now, 19, a young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, meaning that we're, as a boy grows into a man, he has to be reminded and exhorted constantly, hey, you have to understand the long-term consequences of your decisions, and you just can't fly off the handle and you just can't, you know, do certain things and think that they're not going to be any consequences for it. You have to be serious-minded. Now, does that mean that you, as a young man, you're walking around stoic all the time? No.
But, you know, somebody might defend him and say, you know, you're talking about being sober-minded. He wasn't drinking. And obviously, you know, as far as the consequences are concerned, he can pay speeding tickets. He's, you know, he's got money, so he can pay speeding tickets. So, What are you talking about, consequences?
Well, we're not talking about I'm not quite finished yet, because we're not talking about whether or not you have enough money to pay a ticket or whether you're driving sober, because I'm going to read on in verse 7. It says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Because if you listen carefully to that news article, he received speeding tickets on several other occasions and also in other countries, okay? So that's the whole point, a pattern of good works. So the fact that you have clearly a pattern of breaking the speed limit and breaking the laws of the land, which the scriptures speak expressly about abiding in Romans, the 12th chapter or the 6th chapter, then you're not showing a pattern of good works. And the long-term consequence is, okay, you're sitting there thinking about, okay, I got enough money to pay a ticket, I'm driving sober. Guess what? You can't account for children running out in the street because you're speeding. Okay, you can't account for the other factors that you have absolutely no control over.
You talk about children running out in the streets. Where are their parents? Isn't it the responsibility of their parents to make sure they don't run in the street? That wouldn't be his fault, would it?
It just goes back to the scriptures, obeying the powers that be in the book of Romans. You're breaking the speed limit, and the speed limit is posted there for that express reason. You're driving through a freaking subdivision. You have no business going doing 100 something miles an hour in a subdivision. That's foolish.
Okay.
Back to you. I think Doc wanted to say something.
Absolutely. Yeah, Doc, what you have?
That was it. Abadja definitely made reference to it in Romans 13:1. So, in reference to the comment that you were making as far as the children that may run out in the street, that may be the case. But is it harder to slow down, to come to a stop from 25 miles an hour or 125 miles an hour in a residential neighborhood? Here again, he's a well-known figure, a worldwide known figure. So even by society standards, we're not talking about the scriptures at this particular point. Even by society standards, there is a higher standard or a different place or a higher set of rules or guidelines or set of a degree of discretion that he is being held to, okay? Not saying that someone that isn't as well known as Justin Bieber can drive through the streets in a residential neighborhood in a Ferrari doing 100 plus miles an hour. But because he is who he is and the type of fame and fortune that he has amassed, there is definitely that, okay, you're not being looked at as a regular common person. You're in an elevated position. And in this elevated position that you know that you now find yourself in, there are certain sets of rules and guidelines that that would apply more to you than to someone who isn't in that same position, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I understand where you're coming from.
Just right quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely.
Here we go. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. And it says, here it is. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I wanted to read that is because of the fact that here again, and I wanted to read this as well. This is what's written about Justin Bieber on Wikipedia under the tab of beliefs and interests. Bieber is a practicing Christian and said he has a relationship with Jesus, talks to him, and that he, quote unquote, he is the reason I'm here. So if you claim you have a relationship with Jesus, okay, let's go ahead and say the Jesus of this Bible. If you claim that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and that you're speaking or communing with Jesus Christ, why would not these scriptures be applicable to you as a person who communicates with the Son of God Almighty? So what we're reading about in these articles as far as his run-ins with the law and his behavior is an example of youthful lusts. Youthful lusts, in other words, things that you want to act out in your youth, things that you want to act out because you are young. These different impulses that you have, and I don't mean you personally, but that a young person has, as a young man or a young woman. Now, it doesn't help that you've got a whole bunch of money at your disposal and to help out in the event that you mess up, you make a mistake, and it calls for some type of fine, it calls for some type of financial penalty, you just pay it out, and then you just keep going. Now, that does help, but here again, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Since he said he talks with Jesus Christ, then these are the things that he needs to be focused on. Following after righteousness, following after faith, following after charity, following after peace. Those are the things that he needs to be focused on and not 100 plus miles an hour burning through a residential neighborhood.
Okay. All right, brothers, we're going to take a brief break here, and when we come back, want to discuss just how serious are these things that he's doing. You know, I mean, you're talking about somebody urinating in a bucket and speeding. I mean, you know, how serious is that? And also, if these things are like exceptionally serious or whatever, let's discuss what things could have been done at some point in the past to prevent him from having these this misbehavior at this point.
The Body of Christ Church invites you to listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works that come through the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/
ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7749. Your comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. Again, call in now. Please dial 646-716-7749.
Look, I want the truth. It's time out for those lies. Whenever something happens, all I get are lies, lies, and more lies. Okay? You know what? When things happen, I know where I can go to get away from all these lies and get to the real truth. Oh, yeah. I'll get the truth whether you tell me or not. I'll get the truth from the brothers in the virtual living room. Those brothers tell the truth about what's going on in the world based on what's written in the Holy Scriptures. And you know what? I can get them live. That's right, live. I can hear them every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And just in case something happens before then, I can still get truth from their archive shows. So keep on telling those lies. As for me and my house, we'll get the truth.
Okay, brothers, we are back, and we are discussing Justin Bieber and his misbehavior, and, you know, kind of want to get a sense of what direction this is going. The things that that he's done in the, say, past several months have been, you know, in some minds have been relatively insignificant as far as misbehavior. It's not like he's shot anybody. He's, you know, being accused of murder. There was one incident where there was some illegal drugs involved. I think it was marijuana, which most people consider that, many people consider that fairly tame as far as an offense is concerned. So, brothers, give me a sense, or give the audience a sense of the severity of this misbehavior on the part of Justin Bieber.
Well, I'll just start off here, Saya. By saying that it's the show is, you know, even though Justin Bieber is the topic, this is really a lot larger than him. It's really more about the example that he's setting forth in the with the banner of his faith. I'll say it that way. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Because what you have going on here is that you have someone that proclaims to be of the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And these are offenses. You know, you're breaking the laws of the land that Romans 6 chapter tells us not to do by speeding through a subdivision. You're putting others in danger in that instance, you know, in that instance by breaking the laws and not having a concern for your neighbor. You know, even the urinating in a bucket. Again, where is the charity in that the scriptures tells us to have? You know, because somebody's job is obviously to clean the floor. You don't know if that was a fresh, I mean, not even going into the details, but still, it just goes back to the scriptures telling us to give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Because with him, as Rock had brought out, with him being such a high-profile person, those examples are going to be the picture of what people have of what so-called Christianity is about. And that's why I read the scripture at the beginning of the show about how the Lord said the world loveth his own. Because the Christianity that is commonly practiced or that is put on the forefront in the world is, if people read their Bibles, that's not the Christianity that Jesus taught. The examples that we see of a lot of so-called Christians in this world, those are not the examples that Christ told us to follow when you read the Bible. So that's really the heart of the matter of what we're really looking at. This is a lot bigger than Justin Bieber. Back to you.
Okay. Kazaki, did you want to weigh in on that, you know, as far as the severity of these offenses, this misbehavior?
Right. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So now, in relation to who we're talking about today, speeding tickets, he paid them off, small finding of marijuana in the tour bus, you know, that's pretty much okay, either ignored or a slap on the wrist for it. But what's happening or what can potentially happen if he doesn't practice or put into a practice 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, which is to examine yourself, what could easily happen is, okay, I got off from this charge or I got off from this offense. Let me see if I can do this or I can do this or I can do this. In other words, because of the fact that he got off from that charge or there wasn't a stiff enough penalty for him to pay for that offense, then as he finds himself getting into more and more trouble, then the offenses become graver and graver and graver and graver. Got to read it again. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Because an evil work, something that's outside of the confines of the scriptures, because there is no Johnny-on-the-spot judgment or Johnny-on-the-spot punishment for that evil work, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, oh, well, I got away with it. Or, oh, well, that wasn't that bad. Let me do it again. Or let me do something worse. Let me do something graver. It's almost like thrill seeking.
So, you know, considering his background, you know, he obviously had parents that are involved, according to this. Both his mother and father were involved. What more could they have done so that he would not be involved in this misbehavior at this point in his life?
Go ahead, Doc.
I just wanted to, because that's a good question. What more could they have done? Let's take a look at Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So now the point of the matter is, what more could they have done? What is to say that they did or did not apply the scripture? Well, maybe I should ask the question that way. Did they apply the scripture? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Did they train up their young man? Did they sit him down and teach him about Christ? Did they sit him down and teach him about following the commandments? Did they sit him down and teach him about being a good example? Did they sit him down and teach him about doing the right thing according to thus saith the Lord? Did they sit him down and teach him about respecting authority? Did they sit him down and teach him about respecting others? Because all of that is in the scriptures. In some book throughout this Bible, those concepts that I just mentioned are in the scriptures, and we as parents, you're a parent, I'm a parent, it is the responsibility of us as parents, and it doesn't matter whether you have biological children or not. If you are a presence in the life of a child, then it's your responsibility to be that example, as well as to teach the scriptures, teach of Christ to those children whose lives that you're part of.
You know, Abadja, Kazaki is bringing out some really good points about, you know, the responsibility of parents to teach their children and so forth. And we look to the scriptures to show us examples of how things have turned out. So now let's look at an example of King David. King David had a number of children. And you know, we look at King David as being a righteous man, and he had a couple of, instances where he committed some sins, and a couple of them, I guess, were fairly atrocious. But when you look at his children, Absalom, for example, Absalom actually rebelled against him. So when you train up a child in the way that they should go, there's something that's obviously not 100% guarantee. Right, so the parents could have done all that they were supposed to do, and this kid is still running wild. Is that correct?
Oh, say that one more time.
The parents of Justin Bieber could have done all that they're supposed to do according to the scriptures, and now this kid is still running wild. I mean, they call themselves the Wild Boys or the Wild Kids. So,
go ahead.
So, you know, in regard to training up a child in the way they should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. Is that like 100% foolproof, or is there something more to that, where the child still might fall short?
Well, the thing is, we have to understand, you know, as a parent, you know, and Zach put it so eloquently, we have to deal with those things when they're young. You know, you don't begin the correction at 7, at 10, at 12, at 15, and especially not at, you know, 17, 18. By then, it's like, listen.
So when?
You have to understand that.
So when do you begin the correction?
You begin the correction from the womb. When it says train up a, let me read a scripture real quick, and I'm going to go into answering the question a little bit further. It says, where was it? I just had it.
So from the womb, from the womb, you meaning at birth, or do you mean in the womb?
No, at birth.
Okay.
At birth.
Because
I
there are people that would teach to their kids, you know, read to them and so forth while they are still, you know, while the mother's still pregnant before they're born.
Okay.
So
here we go. I'm going to go straight to the point. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because the thing is that as parents, it is our duty to train up our children in the ways of the Lord, to show them the right example, to exhort them on a daily basis. Because the fear and nurture of the Lord is, listen, we're not only teaching you right from wrong, but we're giving you the understanding why these things are right or wrong based on the scripture. That's the nurture.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's not a matter of I'm going to beat you because you did wrong, or I'm going to punish you because you did wrong. The nurture is just as important as the so-called, you know, admonition or the punishment
mm-hmm.
or the rod in a sense. But the thing that we also have to understand that as children grow older, because of what happens in this world, it's let me see here. Because of the way that this world is, I think it's a scripture in Proverbs that it says the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the ways of the wicked seduce him or something to that effect. But at any
rate, yeah, I'm looking for that right now. I'll look for it for you.
So at any rate, you know, when our children start to grow, they start to develop their own sense of being. They start to develop their own sense of right and wrong. But as parents, it is our job to constantly provide that example of, listen, this is what thus saith the Lord is concerning that, okay? And that's really all you can do, you know, because you can't, once your child gets a certain age, you can't really make them do anything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can't make them do anything. And the ability to, you know, be a mentor and influence their decisions to the example of Christ, it diminishes as they get old, you know, diminishes as they get older if you've never done that in the first place. You know,
I apologize for interrupting, brother, but that was Proverbs 12 and 26, what you were looking for.
No, you didn't interrupt. Yeah, so, I mean, we have to understand that. So when children start to grow up as adults, it's like, okay, my job is to teach you right from wrong according to the commandments of God. Because here's I read this scripture pretty much every show. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Because that's the mentality that is in this world concerning the youth. It's like,
mm-hmm.
listen, whatever you have the ability to do in this world, that's what you pursue. Don't let anyone tell you any different. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Rebel against the rules. And that's the mentality of the world. Those are rites of passage in this world. to walk in the weight of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. Whatever it is that you seek to do, and hey, you know what? I'm not killing anybody. I ain't hurting nobody. I'm not even breaking any laws.
Mm-hmm.
So is that right according to the scriptures? Because the latter part of that scripture says, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Meaning that, okay,
mm-hmm.
you may have very well not have been causing any harm to anyone this time. You may not have gotten caught this time. But guess what? My job as a parent is to let you understand that your limited scope of life, you don't really understand who's in charge. And you're going to find out the hard way if you don't follow what the scripture says. Back to you.
Kazakia, mm-hmm. any comments on that?
Oh, no. He pretty much nailed it on the head with the comments that my brother Abacha made. Other than the fact that it's something. And yes, we're talking about Justin Bieber. I apologize, but that's something that we all have to make sure that we're keeping in mind. And with that, I need to read the scripture. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, and it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So now, we're looking at a situation in which we have a young man, lots of fame, lots of fortune, lots of notoriety, lots of influence. But look at his actions. They're still childish. Look at his words, or listen to his words, especially in that clip, the sound bite of the video clip that you played of him urinating in a mop bucket. That's all
right.
childish actions as well as childish words. But look at
right.
now what the scripture says. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So
mm-hmm.
now, the assumption of the mantle of manhood, quote unquote, so to speak, comes through repentance and following Jesus Christ. That's when you really become a man, according to the scriptures. When you take it upon yourself to repent, put your actions, put your thought process in line with thus saith the Lord, and you apply these things to your life, to yourself, and you're that example. That's true manhood coming into manhood.
But Kazakia,
spirit.
Can in his current career path, then could he ever actually become a man? Because he has teenage girls doing things like throwing their panties on stage at him and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's a ton of temptation there. And what you're talking about, a man according to scriptures, it appears that his career path is a long way from that. So
okay.
Talk a little bit about that challenge.
All right. Well, I'm going to read the scripture. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, in repentance, you put away those things that have nothing to do with serving the Heavenly Father in Christ. Now, going to your question, as far as his career path and temptation and things of that nature, let's take a look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to go straight to the point, starting at verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. This is Satan with our Lord and Savior Christ. Verse 6. And saith unto, verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, this is Satan showing Christ all the kingdoms, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Greco-Roman Empire, and all the riches and all the fame and all the notoriety that comes with being the king of those empires and everything,
mm-hmm.
all
mm-hmm.
the fortune and all the fame and the glory of it all, which is more than what this young man, Justin Bieber, is experiencing. Nonetheless, Satan is telling Christ, I will give you all of this. All you got to do is fall down and worship me. Now, if that's not temptation, then somebody please explain to me what is. What? Let's take a look at what Christ said. Verse 10, this saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So if you want to talk about temptation, let's look at the temptation that Christ went through and compare that to what we're talking about here. And it's almost of no comparison. As far as this young man is concerned, he has to make up in mind whenever he chooses to make up in his mind, if he chooses to make up in his mind, that I need to make sure that I'm following the teachings and example of Jesus Christ. As far as his riches, his fame, his money is concerned, there are scriptures that deal with that too. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at verse 17, which says, charge them that are rich in this world. So now, is not Justin Bieber rich in this world? He indeed is.
Oh, yes.
Yes, he is. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, meaning proud, nor trust in uncertain riches. Because believe you me, yes, he has a ton of money, but in the same manner that he got that money, it can be the same manner that it's taken away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good. So now, this is what those that are rich in this world, this is also the things that they are responsible for. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And finally, Matthew, I believe it's Matthew, chapter 16, dealing with that. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? So, Mr. Justin Bieber, how are you profited? How are you advantaged? Or what is it, or how is it a benefit to you if you gain all the fame, all the riches, all the glory, all the fortune, all the notoriety that this world offers, and in the process, you lose your opportunity to enter into the kingdom of heaven?
Brother, those sound like some terrific points there. Abadja, how much impact do you think, or how, well, I guess the impact, the fact that his mother was characterized as being a single mother on him getting to this point in life and misbehaving the way he has, does that have much of an impact, or is it of any real significance?
It can, and it really depends. I want to read an example of a young man that grew up without his father being a significant part of his life with regards to, you know, the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
This is 2 Timothy. And let me start at chapter 1 and verse, I'm going to start at verse 3. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, I thank God, whom I served my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So the thing is that Paul understood that Timothy's father, you know, was not in the faith, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But his mother and his grandmother were. So just a woman being a single parent, in a sense, doesn't necessarily mean that they won't be able to, you know, raise a child in the commandments or raise them according to the example of Christ. because we have an example here of Timothy, who had the example of his grandmother and his mother. And, of course, Paul being that father figure for him as well. So just because, you know, a woman is a single parent does not mean that she would not be able to, you know, raise her child, you know, according to, first of all, being an example, okay, as is that Timothy's grandmother and mother were. But, you know, it doesn't mean that she's going to have the ability of it, but she would also, in applying the commandments, would also have the support of her church to help raise that child as well. So it's not an impossible thing. We have examples in the scriptures that show you that it is very well possible and that they can go on to be successful. But the other thing that I really wanted to go into as well is that the whole thing as far as, you know, dealing with temptation. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. And it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. They have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." Mm-hmm. So we have to understand that a lot of the challenges that we face in this world, you know, whether it's single parenthood or whether it's the accessibility to loose women, if you will, or, the women approaching us, you know, that we're not alone in those struggles. But at the end of the day, we have to understand that we have the example of Christ, and more importantly, the scriptures and those who are supposed to be, and I use that word loosely, who are supposed to be exhibiting the examples of the scriptures to help us escape those temptations, because those temptations are common. We're not alone in the things that we go through. It's just that the devil, Satan, wants us to think that we're alone, to corner us and to make us give into those whims and to lose our salvation. Back to you.
Okay. Well, Kazaki, do you have any parting words for our audience?
Parting words are concerned, I would like to read Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, where it says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So while we were breaking the commandments, leaning on our own understanding, walking in the youthful lust of our heart, the Most High had mercy on us. But now we are commanded by God Almighty in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to repent."
Okay. And Abaja, any parting words on your part?
No, just the fact that, you know, again, what we want people to take from the show is that, you know, it's not about, you know, Justin Bieber per se, but we have to understand that we have a lot of bad examples of people that profess to be Christians, that when you read the scriptures for yourself and see what's written, that a lot of us that claim to be Christians are not walking that example. And those are things that we have to be, you know, that we have to work on. Just going right back to Titus, the second chapter, verse 7, he says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of him." So that's something that we all have to be conscious of as we walk this faith and obtain the example of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
All right, well, brothers, thank you so much for being on the program with me here today. I want to say thanks to the people that are listening in, those in the chat room, and also to those that were listen to the program in the archives. But most of all, our thanks go out to the Most High in the name of His Son Christ. Until next time, shalom.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com, or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com, or call us at 877-871-1712. Until our next visit, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. Shalom.